Thank you, Mr. Irwin, and good afternoon to brethren here and those who may be watching on the webcast. A very happy Sabbath to everyone. You know, I heard on a television show by an old-time preacher, he described a sermon as being much like a shotgun blast. And he said, you don't have to aim it. Just pull the trigger, and it's bound to hit something. Now, today, I would like to share a few ways of how God's glory is demonstrated and how that benefits us. The title of this sermonette is For God's Glory. You noticed I said how God's glory and the way it is shown benefits us. God, as we know, does not need anything that we would give him. He has all he could ever need or want, and has no need of our counsel, any of our wisdom, and certainly none of our money. We were designed by God in the beginning, from the beginning, to need the things that he gives us. Your brethren, the first thing that we as his creation can give to God for his glory is praise. If you'll turn with me to Psalms 50, Psalms 50, and in verse 23, we read, Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation, or his conduct, his way of life, aright, will I show the salvation of God. It is good, then, that we offer praise to God, because it does open doors to blessings. There is the blessings financially that we get through cheerful tithing. There are the spiritual blessings of growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we grow in the praises toward our God, our Creator. As our older brother and our high priest, Jesus himself showed a second way of showing God's glory through healing. In this one particular case, as we read in John 11, starting in verse 4, we're picking up the thought here in the middle of the case of Lazarus and his sickness and impending death. And we read, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus had been told earlier by Lazarus of Lazarus' illness, and he purposely delayed going to Lazarus to heal him the way everybody figured that he would do. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, together, were very good friends with Jesus. And no one really could fathom the idea that Jesus wouldn't immediately go to heal Lazarus as he'd done in other cases. As a matter of fact, Jesus waited a whole 3 days, as we know now, until he was quite sure Lazarus was, as I've heard the old folks say, graveyard dead. When questioned more closely, by his disciples, Jesus just finally came down to the point where he said Lazarus was asleep. At first, they thought he meant Lazarus was taking a rest. And he said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. The point to this delay was made clear later when Jesus replied to Martha's claim that indeed she knew Lazarus would be raised at the resurrection. Jesus looked at Martha and told her he was the resurrection, he was the life, he was the way. His point being very poignant. It was to his and the Father's glory that Jesus had the stone rolled away from Lazarus' grave, and called out, "Lazarus, come forth." We see, brethren, that we can praise God and we can glorify Him, and we certainly see how Jesus glorified His Father in healing Lazarus and raising him from the grave. But what, brethren, is left in order that we may glorify our Father? In John 15 and verse 8, Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you, what's your name? You may bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." A disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, a called and chosen one upon whom the seed fell on good ground, a one watered by the gospel, and fruit grown and pruned by a loving God, in order that more fruit may be produced. Fruit unto the glory of God, for the glory of God. Disciples, brethren, who have had their conduct honest among the Gentiles, who see your good works, and will give glory to God in that day of visitation. Glorifying God is good for everyone concerned. Our God is a merciful, forgiving God and Father. He's a Father who will have all come to His knowledge and hope of salvation. God has always had the good of His creation in mind, everything that He's done since the dawn of history. All praise and honor are due Him to whom we owe our existence and our eternal future. We praise Jesus healed, and we are to bear much fruit. All good things then come down from the Father of lights, and all glory be to God forever and ever. I would like to end with a poem that I found online. It's written by an anonymous grandfather to his 4-year-old granddaughter. The poem is entitled, "A Child's Plea for God." Give me not a God that I control. Don't give me a God that I can mold. I need God, the real God, who knows more than I know. Give me God, the living God, who's free to come and go. God Himself, who created life and all living things. God who lives, and to my life, His own life He brings. I want God, the holy God, who has a master plan. God, the God who acts in grace, though I can't understand. I will wait for God, the loving God, the God of power still, who can in Jesus fill my heart and conform me to His will. Where is God, the God of truth, who tells it like it is? Though painful it seems to me, shapes my heart like His. I see God, the mighty God, when I think and look at the cross, who gave His life that I might live, removing all the dross. This God, the God I'm looking for, is greater than the world, able to do anything simply by His word. I will wait for God, the loving God, the God of power still, who can in Jesus fill my heart and conform me to His will. Brethren, let's do everything that we were called to do and things that we know to do and conform ourselves to the calling of God for His great glory.